Item C, general discussion, commissioners and director. Fairly quiet today on Friday. No points of discussion today?
This is Commissioner Keeney.
Commissioner Keeney.
I just wanted to share with you the great effort that just went on last week at the sharp-tailed grouse release in Tunk Valley here in Okanagan County. The department did a huge effort with a lot of staff involved, a lot of volunteers, called the Confederated Tribes. It was amazing, and on the capture end, I didn't get to see that, but they were hugely successful getting all 40 birds that they had permits to get. Unfortunately, there was some heat troubles with some of the birds, and 7 of them were lost on the trip down. They're working on ways to hopefully not let that happen again, but then I got to go out on the release end of it just as a volunteer, and really neat. Bringing these birds back to an area that, you know, suffered those fires was just an incredible bit of work, and Jeff Heinlein here just pulled a lot together to make this happen, and Derek at the state Olympia office, you know, a huge amount of logistics to make this all happen, so great job by the department.
Thank you, Commissioner Keeney. This is Commissioner Carpenter. I just wanted to bring up, I was going to wait until we meet, but I wanted to bring up the what I would consider a huge success on the Skagit River catch and release steelhead fishery. It's taken us years, almost a decade, to get that thing moving, and it was much appreciated by the people that participated. I do want to go on record as asking Director Storr and Fish Committee or Fish Department Chair Ron Warren, I'm going to formally ask for a report, including the economics report on that. And if you wanted me to do it via blue sheet, I'll do that. But I do want to get some recap of how well that went from the industry's perspective as well as from the department's perspective. So I'll leave it at that for the moment.
Yeah, Larry, this is Brad. Can I
please
chime in that I heard from a lot of folks, too. I gave a talk at the regional Puget Sound Anglers, and there was a lot of appreciation and a lot of excitement. I was invited out to go, but I couldn't make it, which so I said I want a rain check on that. But a lot of happy faces.
Yeah, and I also, Brad, I heard from some merchants from upriver, motels, and people that felt blessed that this took place. So thank you all for the effort.
Mr. Vice Chair.
Yes.
Joe. We got the request, and we'll follow up with you at the would the June meeting be fine?
Yeah, June, July, there's no urgency. I just don't want to let it fall through the cracks. I think it's important for future planning, et cetera, Joe.
Okay, we got it.
Thank you, guys. Any other general discussion points?
Yeah, just one other thing, Larry.
Amy,
you're there, Amy, right?
I am.
Could you give a short 1 or 2 minute overview of the first whale meeting?
Oh, yeah, the first whale meeting was extremely well attended. There was folks in the audience from lots of different perspectives. We went around the room and people talked about their hopes. There was a lot of shared hopes that we would take bold action, that we would take action immediately. People are pretty excited about getting together. The chairs were They were great. They provided really good context. There were presentations in the afternoon on the three focus areas, so on contaminants, vessels, and prey. And one of the most interesting pieces, and I'll just throw this out there, is something that I walked away with wanting to know a lot more about, was there was a study recently in 2017 where they used a model to ask the question, how much vessel noise do we need to reduce, and how much prey do we need to increase to recover the orcas? And they looked at different, you know, if you increase the prey by 30% or if you decrease the noise by 30%, you know, sort of what was the optimal shifting of those dials? And what they found in this model was that if you just increase prey by 30%, you don't get a recovered orca population. If you increase prey by 15% and you decrease noise by 15%, then you get an orca, recovered orca population. And what was so interesting to me about that was that I think we take a simplified view that we can do one thing, and one of the things that people talked a lot about is that we're going to need to do combinations of things in ways that are maybe not intuitive and are, you know, cross intersectional in terms of industries, which I thought was really interesting. There was also a lot of conversation about pinniped management. There was some really good tribal perspectives shared. So it was a good meeting, and I'm really excited to be on the task force, and I look forward to reporting when we get more into the substance.
Thank you,
Amy. Any other general discussion items?
Mr. Vice Chair.
Yeah, Joe.
This is Joe. Maybe I'll just mention a couple of things. It's been a really, really busy week, so I want to thank staff formally for all the areas that we covered. Amy just talked about the killer whale group. We had a meeting last night around elk hoof disease down in Ridgefield and the action that we're planning to take over in the Trout Lake area. Haven't gotten a report back. I think that went till 8 or 9 last night. We had a good meeting with our Budget Policy Advisory Group over in Ellensburg, and I think made some real progress in terms of getting those advisors to understand the budget situation and our the impacts that would occur if we had to deal with the $30-plus million structural deficit that we've got. We had a Wolf Advisory Group meeting this week, and then we also had the Pacific Salmon Treaty meeting down in Portland. So just a lot going on. I think progress was made in a number of areas, so I want to just say thanks to staff. Couple more things. We are beginning contract negotiations for next biennium with our unions, and so those are pretty sometimes tedious and long and involved. But we've got a number of our leaders in the agency part of that, and they need to complete those negotiations by October 1st. We are starting to set ourselves up for interviews for the Region 5 director. John Long left at the end of the month, and so we're going through applications and setting up interviews. Excited to get that position filled. We had a really great training event, about a day and a half with our senior management team. That's about 100 of our senior managers down to like the division level, essentially. And we covered things like dealing with the media, a couple other issues, but the main part of the event was some diversity training, and had a series of presentations and a panel, and I think people walked away with a real sense of you know, what we need to accomplish in the agency and where some of our challenges are, and that felt pretty good. So pretty busy around here, and I think we're moving forward in a number of areas.
Thank you, Joe. Are there any other points of discussion this morning?
Commissioner Baker.
Commissioner Baker first, and then sounds like Commissioner Thorburn.
And we may be saying the same thing. I wanted to thank Commissioner Thorburn for leading us off at the WAG meeting in Spokane a couple of days ago. I think the members of the WAG were surprised, maybe a little concerned, to see not one but three commissioners show up for that, for at least the first day of that meeting. And Kim did a great job of kind of explaining who we are and what we do, and Jay Holtzmiller and I chimed in here and there, but it was a good meeting. I heard the second day went good as well, but I was in Ellensburg at that budget meeting, and the thing I want to say about that is that what was striking and continues to surprise me is just what a nice job the people that are staffing that effort are doing. But the really astonishing thing was how the people that were around that table all have a goal, and the goal is to make our agency more vibrant and to, you know, reduce the funding deficit, and they're serious about it. And stayed, we actually stayed longer than we needed, we should have, and you know, people didn't want to leave. So thanks to everybody on that. And if you get a chance to go to one of those things, I'd suggest every one of us at least attend one of them. That's my report.
Thank you, Commissioner Baker. Mr. Thorburn, do you have comments?
Thank you. Just one other reminder about WAG, and this was based on our previous conversation. We have committed that commission members will attend those meetings. We really need to align, since a lot of the upcoming work is really falls in our basket. There are going to be decisions that are needed. We did commit that commissioners would be attending those meetings. Perhaps when it's in your area, you can plan to go. But what I wanted to ask was not related to that. It is, are we prepared for completely prepared for next week? Do we have a couple of decisions that we need to make? And one question I have is, how are we handling the interview questions in regards to the candidates? Are we going to provide them in advance? And if so, how much in advance? And then I understand there's a little difficulty with scheduling.
Mr. Baker, you want to take a first stab at that? Or I don't know how much we can talk about it all, Tammy.
Well, you can talk about the fact if you're going to give the questions in advance, that's fine. And then the scheduling, Kim, we don't know. We're still working on one candidate, and okay. I won't know that until later today, so really nothing to talk about there.
Okay.
It's under control, Kim, yeah.
Yeah. So you can make the decision on the questions today.
Yeah.
Preliminary decisions on the questions that basically I made was that we had too many questions. Tried to look at the questions, too many questions for the time we have allotted. And so we took some of the questions and set them aside for a potential second round. So the questions that you've been sent, it's very difficult to come up with a set of interview questions in a public meeting. So that's why there are some, you guys might have some questions about this. But if the list of questions that you saw seemed shorter, it's because we removed really five of them for a potential next round if we go there. Then on whether the applicants are going to be presented with the questions in advance, the answer to that is no, but what we will likely do is have a set there at the interview for the interviewee just to have something to refer to. Maybe they read better than they, you know, we all have different learning styles. Maybe they want something to look at while they're answering the questions. So we decided we'd have a set there for the interviewer, but not give them any of the questions in advance.
And I think that makes sense, because a lot of times when these questions can be rather lengthy, as we know, the interviewee tries to write down a lot of the question, but in writing some of it down, misses some of it being stated. So having it just there as a reference, so I think that can focus the interviewee more than having to worry about getting all the points down. And I want to thank Commissioner Baker for taking a lot of time on this. She's been doing your person's duty on this, so thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Barbara. Very good. Okay. No other discussion points or questions?
Commissioner Carpenter, this is Ron Warren.
Yes, Ron Warren, please.
So, commissioners, I just wanted to make you aware that next week, May 8th, we will reinitiate our Puget Sound Chinook Harvest Management Plan discussions with our Puget Sound co-managers, and we'll report back as I can on topics. Our first agenda is to set the schedule for the summer, and so that we can have the appropriate staff working in advance of when we need policy decisions. We'll also be refining our final date that the plan has to be delivered to NOAA for their work for the 2020 approval of a multi-year coverage. So more later, but wanted you all to know that.
Ron, this is Larry Carpenter. I have a question. You said you'd report back to us as you can. Are you going to be constrained in what you can share with us ongoing in this process?
Yeah, thank you for the question, Commissioner. We don't know yet. Part of the discussion we will have is whether or not we remain under the court jurisdiction for mediation or whether we come out from underneath that umbrella to work. So regardless, I can either keep you informed publicly like this or at face-to-face meetings or in executive session if we have mediation topics that are prevent me from discussing it openly.
Thank you, Ron.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. With regard to updating the commission on a regular basis, recall in early January, our direction was to please update us on a regular basis, and if that necessitates the use of the U.S. v. Washington ongoing litigation umbrella, then that would be a functional mechanism. And then update the public as there are major significant conclusionary type events. So you mentioned the mediation as one umbrella, but please note that the entire U.S. v. Washington umbrella is out there as well, and that I don't believe the public is expecting regular routine updates on progress, but rather just significant events. However, I think it is useful for the full commission to get regular routine updates in a closed session under that litigation umbrella, if it can be done.
Thank you, Commissioner McIsaac. We are going to try to have an advisor call just to share that this amount of information with them, let them know we will on significant progress. We'll try, if we can, to keep advisors informed and or have public meetings. Obviously, those advisor calls, we switched to allowing the public, similar to these commission conference calls. So we're doing our best to share information with those concerned and interested in the topic.
Thank you, Ron. Okay, any other points of discussion this morning?
Mr. Vice Chair.
Joe Storr, please.
Sorry, don't mean to prolong.
No,
but,
not at all.
Amy reminded me of a couple of additional items, so if this is going on too long, it's all Amy's fault.
So noted.
Okay. One is that on May 16th, we are going to have our headquarters annual awards celebration where we get the big auditorium next door and about half a day with staff celebrating various accomplishments. We also have public awards, and so it's just a real nice celebration and a lunch afterwards, and then we'll go out to the regions over the course of the next month and do something similar in the region. So you are all invited if you would like to attend. We'd love to have you there.
Joe, just Brad, Tammy, could you remember to send the dates when those regional ones are and what Joe just mentioned out to us?
Sure.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'm sure staff would love to see you there. The other has to do with May the Raccoon. If you remember the story, it got some press attention. One of our enforcement officers pulled into a stop along the highway and saw a family that had a raccoon on a leash, and asked the gentleman there if they had a permit to possess the raccoon, which it turns out they did not. So the raccoon was taken by our officers, and we've been going through a series of challenges about how to deal with the concerns of the family and with the animal itself. The whole issue went before an administrative law judge about 2 weeks ago. There were a day and a half of hearings. The law judge's report came out yesterday, finding pretty strongly in favor of us, noting the impacts to the raccoon's health and sort of viability that occurred as a result of being a pet, and the fact that there are laws that prevent people possessing wildlife for some good reasons. So we don't believe haven't seen any large media interest, and hope that this is finally resolved, and we're interested in seeing that the findings, conclusions from the administrative law judge, we can make those available.
Well, she will finish her life in a rehab facility.
Yeah, that good point, Amy. Yeah, so we've got a rehab facility that'll care for the raccoon, and it'll be there for educational purposes, and the family can visit and see the raccoon, and so hopefully that's a good compromise.
Well, that's a good report to move towards bringing the meeting to closure. any other closing comments by anyone? Hearing none, I will move to adjourn the conference call of the Washington State Fish and Wildlife Commission. It is 8:59 a.m. on May the 4th, 2018. Have a great week.